Listen to this, Jesus says. If someone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. If someone robs you of your coat, well, give them the shirt off your back. Lend to those who won't repay you. Give to everyone who begs from you. And I don't know about you, but it kind of sounds like Jesus is advocating that we all become doormats. And historically, the church has used this text against the enslaved and against battered spouses to encourage the abused to stay put, to endure more abuse, turn the other cheek, love your neighbors and love those who hate you. But Jesus, we want to say, there are people who will take and take and take, and as soon as you give them a little bit, they're going to line up at the door and they're going to want everything more. Or we'll say, but Lord, if you don't stand up to the bullies, well, they just keep coming after us, right? But I think we've gotten it all wrong if we think that that is what Jesus was saying, because Jesus was not a wimp and he was not a doormat. He never hesitated to set boundaries for himself. He said no, and he said it often. He said no when the disciples wanted him to stay in one place in Capernaum and just keep taking care of all the people who were in town. And when the crowds were lined up in hopes that of healing, he would sometimes leave them and go off to a place to be by himself. He disappointed the people in Nazareth who wanted him to play miracle worker for them, because he wasn't there to grant wishes or to fix their problems for them. He was there to invite them to live into a new vision of the kingdom of God. He regularly broke religious laws when he thought they were ridiculous. He picked grain on the Sabbath, which was prohibited and considered work, and he did it because he was hungry. He healed on the Sabbath because he was kind and merciful, and the Sabbath, he said, was made for human beings and not human beings for the Sabbath, and he caught a lot of flack for it. But he wasn't afraid of making people mad, right? He wasn't a people pleaser. He wasn't afraid to stand up to his enemies when they threatened him or tried to discredit him. In fact, he stood in the public spaces and he called them whitewashed tombs, which means you may look pretty on the outside, but you're pretty putrid on the inside. It's not flattering. He called them a brood of vipers. He called them hypocrites. And it took a lot of backbone to enter Jerusalem and to confront the powerful elites. It took backbones to stand up to Pilate and to Caiaphas, and it took more than backbone to endure torture and by death by crucifixion with dignity and resolve. So I don't think any man of that nature would ever have asked the beaten to suffer even more. Nor would he have expected you to be a doormat for all the bullies and the predators and the opportunists in the world. He valued us enough to die for us. I think that means we should also value ourselves. And if we're at risk of harm and if we can get away, we need to leave and flee. And yet he tells us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. He says, if somebody strikes you on the cheek, well, then offer the other cheek also. And from anyone who takes your coat, don't even withhold the shirt off of your back, and give to everyone who begs of you. And anyone who takes away your goods, don't ask for them to be returned. Why? Well, I think it's a recipe for empowerment, and I've said this before, but I think it bears repeating because I think the scripture has been misused so many times, right? This is about the exercise of power in the face of powerlessness. This is about speaking to people who cannot run and who cannot win. He's talking to the outgunned. He's talking to the captive. He's talking to victimized people. He's talking to peasants under foreign military occupation, people without enforceable legal rights or protections. Any Roman occupying Israel, Judah, the area of Judea, any Roman could snag any Israelite off the street and force them to be degraded and to act like a pack mule. Any Roman could sit there and say, here, carry all my bags and suitcases and pile them on this individual and force that individual to walk a mile or more out of their way like you would make a donkey do, right? And they would humiliate them, and it would cost them time and money and energy along the way, and they had no recourse, none. You just had to do it or you could be killed. They could strike you on the cheek, and you couldn't retaliate, and you could not defend yourself and live. They could take the cloak that was your shelter for the night, your only blanket, the only thing you could use as a tent against the cold and the rain, and offer you nothing in return, and they could leave you in the ditch. They had all the rights and authority, and the Israelites had none. We might find ourselves in similar situations sometimes, like maybe unable to stand up to a boss without risking losing our job. Or maybe we're pulled over by a corrupt and predatory police officer like Golubsky. Or maybe we can't advocate for our rights or our perspectives without fearing being canceled. And then there is the kid who bullies the people at school, and unlike in the old days when your parents, this is ancient history, when our parents used to say if somebody hits you, hit them back. Nowadays, if you do that, you get a school suspension and a lawsuit. Inequity is everywhere and life isn't fair, right? And we've all been around people who are always looking for a fight, and we've all been around people who hurt our feelings or who attack us for seemingly no reason at all, and people who make fun of our perceived weaknesses and who ridicule or embarrass us or others or who put people down, people who take advantage of others, who think relationships all have to be transactional. We may have dealt with someone who had a persecution complex and was always after vengeance, or a person desperate to be in control of everyone and everything else. Such people can cause a lot of harm. They really can. They often do cause harm. They leave emotional scars on us. Sometimes they leave physical scars on the people they're around. And they can destroy careers and reputations and even nations. So how do we maintain our dignity when we can't fight back? How do we maintain our sense of self in the face of bullying and mistreatment when we can't run away and we can't just throw an opposing punch? Well, Jesus says you can choose the unexpected response. He said, if someone takes from you by force, offer them more, right? If they steal your coat or your cloak, now you can give them your shirt. No longer are you the one who has been robbed. You are now the person who has given. If someone strikes your cheek and you cannot reasonably defend yourself or run away, well, then straighten up and offer them the other cheek also. Now, instead of being the helpless victim, you'll be the brave one. If someone insults you or undermines your character or causes you emotional harm, you do not have to play the victim or wallow in the hurt, Jesus says. You can respond from a place of personal power by choosing to forgive them, by letting go of the hurt, by loving, that means wanting good for them, by praying for their healing and their well-being and that they will have joy and an abundance of life. Instead of calling them names and cursing them, bless them instead, Jesus says. Write a new ending. Exercise mercy and love. You know, anger can give us the energy and the impetus to take action and to confront when it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with getting angry, but when we start stewing in it, when we let it fester into poison and resentment, it takes over. Someone said to me once, hating is like taking poison and expecting it to hurt the other person. The only antidote for hatred and bitterness is love and forgiveness. We have to let go in order to live. It doesn't mean we mean we can't set boundaries, right? We can. We try to set some boundaries for ourselves. It doesn't mean we have to accept bad behavior. It means that we see it for what it is, or at least what it usually is. A parable. There are some fish swimming along in a pond, and they notice another fish who is just thrashing around. You've seen a fish just leaping out of the water, and the fish is running into the other fish, butting into them, and struggling and just acting weird. And some of the fish say, "Oh, that one's mean." And others, they say, "Oh, that one's weird." And they all avoid her. But what they didn't see was this big hook stuck in her back. The little fish had a hook in her spine, and in her pain and panic to be free, she was thrashing around frantically, crashing into things on the end of the fishing line. It wasn't that she was bad or mean or evil. She was doing the best given suffering. One fish saw this and said to her, "Oh, you're in pain. I will stay with you. You'll be okay." When people behave badly, we can see them for what they are: a fellow human being caught on a hook, thrashing around trying to escape the pain. We can practice humility. We can turn the binoculars on ourselves and think about what we have also done wrong, or harms we may have caused, and how we may have contributed in some small way to the situations we find ourselves in. We haven't been perfect either. Some days we aren't even very good. We've been mean and selfish and sometimes cruel. Sometimes with malice, often just because we weren't thinking, or where we were just reacting to life, or simply doing the best we could given that hook in our own back. We also need to be forgiven, Jesus says. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what? He says, what credit? That's really what grace. What grace is that to you? Because even sinners love people who love them. And he said, and if you do good to those who are good to you, well, what grace is that to you? Because even sinners do the same. And if you lend only to people that you expect are going to give you something back, what credit is that? Because sinners lend to sinners all the time to receive as much back again. But love your enemies. It's not easy. It's hard. Do good to those who persecute you. Lend expecting nothing in return, because your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because that's who we are. For the Lord is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful, Jesus says. Don't judge and you aren't going to be judged. Don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. A good measure, pressed down, running over, will be put into your lap, because the measure you give in grace is the measure you will get back. That's advice from a Savior who hung on a cross, who looked out at everybody who had hurt him, at the disciples who abandoned him, at the religious leaders who had falsely accused him, at the executioners who whipped him until the flesh hung from his bones, who pressed thorns into his head, who drove nails into his hands and feet, wrists, ankles, who thrust a sword into his side. He looked out on all the crowds and the bystanders and the passers-by who mocked and spat upon them. He hung there dying, bearing all the pain that we could inflict on God and one another, and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And now he says to us, "Forgive others as I have forgiven you." Amen.